Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
Isn't it interesting that some 240 years before the invention of photography, Shakespeare gave us some of the best possible advice for being a photographer? In Hamlet, written in roughly 1600 plus or minus, one of Shakespeare's characters advises his son, "To thine own self be true." And I can't think of better advice I would want to give a young, new photographer than that very same, "To thine own self be true." And the reason this comes up, a friend of mine was just invited to exhibit his work in a gallery and was delighted to accept the offer. But as they say, a curious thing happened on the way to the forum, and that is the gallery started making suggestions about how he should conduct his artistic affairs. For example, the gallery wanted him to adopt a limited edition strategy, which he doesn't do. And there was some conversation, and perhaps I would even go so far as to say some conflict about this, because the gallery felt strongly about it. And my friend did too, but with the opposite strategy. Rather than limit his work to a predefined edition number, he wanted to put no edition number, an open edition as it's called. The gallery was just very resistant to that. Eventually he won the battle and the gallery accepted his position. But my question is, does the gallery have the right to input into the creative process or the strategies the photographer uses in the management of their career? The gallery also wanted a certain kind of mat board and framing. And one has to assume that they did so because they know what sells. And if sales are the objective of the gallery, then there might be some reason for the photographer to pay attention. But that opens up an even bigger question. Is it advisable that we allow the gallery to influence our artistic endeavors like this? Is the gallery a business partner in the creation of the artwork and the strategies and principles that the artist chooses to adopt? Or is the gallery there to simply showcase what the photographer has decided is the path for their work? I ran into this myself a number of years ago when I started doing folios and chapbooks. I would occasionally get an invitation from a gallery to show my work. But curiously enough, they didn't want to show a folio or a chapbook. What they wanted me to do was take the images that were included in a folio or a chapbook and produce them as wall art. That is to say, mat them, frame them, hang them on the wall as individual, standalone images. And I had a very difficult time, as a matter of fact, I mostly failed, convincing the galleries that that was not what my artwork was, that my artwork is a folio, and that all the images in a folio need to be seen in the context of all the other images in the folio. It was a unit. It was a thing. And to extract an image out of that, print it to a larger size, mat it and frame it and put it on the wall, was not at all a part of my creative vision, at least not for that piece of work. Now, I have other images that I love to mat and frame and hang on the wall, and on numerous occasions I suggested that as an alternative. But the galleries all seemed to want to do something with a folio that was not folio-like. So they weren't representing my work. They were trying to use my images to represent their idea of what might sell. There it is again, that business about marketing driving what the content of the artwork is. I know that's a strategy that lots of photographers use, or at least some photographers use, and they adapt their artwork to what they anticipate will be the market demands. That's okay. If your objective is sales and that's the primary importance to you, then by all means, you should manufacture something that people are interested in buying. That's the nature of free market economics. They're not going to buy it if they don't like it and want it. And if you want to sell, then your responsibility is to produce what they want and like and are willing to pay for. But that's not always the objective for an artist. Sometimes the more important objective is not sales, but rather personal expression. And once you've produced something that's a personal expression, in my case, for example, a folio or a chapbook, to have a gallery suggest that it ought to be something else admits them into the creative process with an authority that, in my way of thinking, they shouldn't have. The responsibility of a gallery is to represent the artist, not to be the artist, or not even find that middle ground where they're neither the artist nor the representative of the artist, but nonetheless trying to influence what the artist produces and how they choose to represent themselves. Seems to me that we're right back to Shakespeare, "To thine own self be true." And if the gallery can accept your work and represent you by saying, "Here's what this artist produces," then I say, great, go for it. But if the gallery wants you to change what you do, that's a slippery slope. And again, if sales are your objective, maybe that's exactly what you should do, is accept their counsel and wisdom about what sells and how you ought to prepare your work for that eventuality. But if the production of your work is more personally motivated, then what's right for you may not be what's right for the gallery, and, of course, vice versa. I've always thought of it this way. Working with a gallery is essentially a partnership. It's a business arrangement. Even if it's a non-commercial gallery, just an exhibition-only gallery, it's still a partnership. The gallery contributes to the partnership with walls and lights and access and parking and heat, light, and power and all the other things it takes to keep the door open. The photographer participates in the partnership by providing the very best of their creative efforts. But just as it would be inappropriate for the artist to tell the gallery business, for example, what hours they should be open and who they should hire and not hire and what their advertising strategy should be, it's equally inappropriate for the gallery to tell the artist what they should be creating and how they should be creating it. And for both the gallery and the artist, to thine own self be true. That's why I say it's a partnership. And when you form a partnership for a common mutual goal, you'd best be very, very careful about who you partner with. Can you trust them? Are their objectives and strategies compatible with your objectives and strategies? If so, great, that's a good start. And I've seen and observed and learned about ever so many relationships between artists and galleries that work successfully. But I've heard more that don't work successfully. And the root of all of those is that the gallery made demands on the photographer that the photographer was unwilling to comply with, or vice versa. That it was not an equal partnership with each of the partners bringing something to the table that contributed to the overall success, but rather that one half of the partnership tried to dominate the other half. That almost never works. There's another side to this, however, though, that should be considered, and that is that if you don't know how you feel about limited editions or the nature of your artwork, or the color of the mat board, or the style of the framing, or who the audience is for your work, if you don't know those things, how can you have the courage of your convictions? So before you engage in partnerships with galleries, my suggestion is you have to think all that through. And if some gallery wants you to offer limited editions and it's against your philosophy, then that becomes a point of discussion and compromise, perhaps. On the other hand, if you've never given it any thought and the gallery insists that you either limit or not limit, it's very possible that you'll be influenced to establish that as a philosophy for your career, even though you may not really believe in it. I once had a gallery invitation where they wanted to place my chapbooks and my folios underneath protective plexiglass boxes. So they wanted to show them, but completely eliminate the tactile and sensuous aspects of my artwork. And I said no. people have to be able to pick them up and look at them. And the gallery said, well, yeah, but that might damage them. And then what would we do? And I said, real simple. If you get a damaged one, you let me know, I send you a replacement. It is, after all, the product of an infinitely reproducible technology, particularly with inkjet printing. It's not like I have to go in the dark room and do some magic. It's just Control P. So something on display that gets a thumb mark or gets dropped and a corner bent or whatever is not ultimately a problem for me and for my artwork, at least. And the sensual, tactile nature of the engagement with folios and chapbooks is so critical, in my way of thinking, for the viewer's appreciation that if they can't do that, they're missing an important aspect of what I've produced. I suppose an argument could be made that after I'm dead and gone, and those folios and chapbooks can't be replaced, that it might make sense to put them under glass or plexiglass or some way protect them. But I'm not sure. Another option would be to provide people with those white cotton gloves to look at my chapbooks and folios after I'm gone. But that always seems to me to be a bit pretentious. Fortunately, I won't have to ultimately make those decisions because after I'm dead and gone, I'll be dead and gone. Someone else will have to worry about that. But in the meantime, as long as I'm able to produce more work, I insist that any display of my artwork be accomplished in a way that allows people to touch it, pick it up, feel it, turn it over, experience the sensuality of the paper and the ink. To thine own self be true. I can truthfully say that I've turned down far more gallery invitations than I've accepted, and the consequence of that philosophy for me has been partnerships with galleries that have been more successful than if I had been willing to put my work out into any gallery just because I was desperate for the exposure. That's one of the aspects of being an artist that always bothers me a little bit. There are so many photographers and so few galleries that they know they have the upper hand because right behind you are 100 other photographers who would like the gallery to exhibit their work. So they hold the trump cards. And if the photographer won't play the game the way the gallery wants to, the gallery can always just say, okay, thanks, goodbye, and sign up the next person in line. What I'm suggesting is have the courage of your convictions. Know how you want your work to be seen and stick to your guns. And if one gallery isn't compatible with your way of thinking about showing your artwork, then don't worry about it. Find another one. Keep looking, because finding the right partner is way more important than finding a partner who's willing to exhibit your work, but only on their terms. To thine own self, be true. Not bad, Shakespeare. Advice, I think, is still valuable, even though it's 500 years since Shakespeare gave us that advice.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.